Hey gang, welcome to AfterBuzz TV's weekly recap of RuPaul's Drag Race for episode 11, Evil Twins. We are going to go on the Bipolar Express, we're going to talk the importance of peeing clear, and we're going to get our special guest co-host's opinion on the entire season, because he's back! Jay Ellis is back. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh, I didn't get this lit up.
Things have changed since you've been away, Jay Ellis.
What is happening? Oh, I'm so excited.
Welcome, everybody. We're some three nasty girls. Yeah. Jackie's missing, Ollie's missing, so these three nasty ladies are going to run the show. I'm Mark J. Freeman, and I am joined by...
Ronnie Jr. I'm blinded by the light right now.
It is quite bright.
But okay, we love it.
And
love
back it. By popular demand.
Hi guys, it's Jay Ellis here.
Jay Ellis is in my house.
I'm filling in for Jackie, so I'm getting paid 70 cents on the dollar.
Exactly. That's a good one. I like
thank
that.
You.
I like that.
They missed you, Jay.
They did.
And I have missed every... I'm sad that Oliver and Jackie and Kenny are not all here.
I know, right?
But I'm really happy to... hear and see the fans and talk to you guys again.
We'll have to find a Voss brunch event to go to. We can all reunite.
Very. Oh. We'll make pancakes.
Plug, plug, plug. Also, stick around later, guys, because I have to tell everybody I have gone 180 on one of the top five. I have a completely different opinion of them. I will divulge that later in the episode.
Okay.
That's a good tease.
I want to hear.
You're such a tease, Mark. I'd try.
So, overall thoughts on the episode, ladies?
No.
Well, I'm going to let you go first because they have been waiting for you. So okay. Why don't you, yeah.
Jay, what has been your thoughts of this episode?
Of this episode?
Just this one. We'll do the rest later.
Yeah. This episode was... fine. And I say that with, like, it was enjoyable to watch, as is every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine for me.
I feel like the week...
capital F.
Yeah.
Fine.
Period.
I kind of feel like the week off should have been between All Stars and this season, because the week off really... I don't know, like, from the fact of Monet being gone, who I missed, and then we come back, and then in the midst of that, the TV show Pose hit, so a lot of people are really on that train, which is a great show, by the way. And so when I went back to Drag Race, I was like, it just took a little while to rev up my engine. That's all.
I kept, because we knew Jackie wasn't going to be here, so when I have to lead host, then I have to go into a different gear, and I have to really focus on the episode and what's going to be in the outline. So, I really kept finding it hard to stay focused. I kept wanting to go play with my phone and stuff like that, which is never a good sign.
Oh, meaning while you were watching?
While I was watching.
I've done that when I led, too, because you don't watch it the same way.
And I kept having to go, okay, I have to go back. I have to listen. I really have to listen to that. I really have to
listen to that. You start to view it, and then you say, oh, this is what I'm going to say on Sunday.
Not that I don't come prepared every week.
I would say, I mean, for this one, because it's an hour and a half content that we're filling with the main show, and then we have the half hour untucked, this one just seemed like I was feeling that hour and a half episode. Whereas with previous episodes, I feel like you're like, it's constantly moving, it's going. And this one, I was like, I think because the challenge, not that it wasn't a major challenge, but it was, there wasn't as much to it as like an acting where we saw a rehearsal and then the main challenge. It was design, but we didn't get to really see the design aspect going into it. So it just felt like it was a lot of filler to the main event.
And I don't think that main event had a good payoff. I don't know if you guys thought it was a real confusing, but... it just seemed like really kooky the way it was edited and like, okay, let's have you back. You're the good queens. It just was like a little too much. It reminded me of like old school editing when you could do like a trick and all of a sudden, you know, like a music video from the 80s.
It's like they were proud of themselves.
Oh yeah. Like there's rain coming off the green screen.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't look that cool.
Well, we'll talk about the runway a little later. So save it. But what I do want to start with is when they came back into the workroom after Monet was let go, which is how this episode starts.
My heart has been hurt ever since me and Monet broke
up. I know. It's it is hard to watch now.
In my mind, we're no longer together.
You get to absorb her.
Like
a sponge.
I buy sponges daily. Yeah. I wore a sponge last week, you know.
I saw.
Yeah. But Cameron made a peculiar statement before she wiped off the mirror saying that... it would have been easier for her to be in the other shoes. And Asia said, and I agreed 100%, then go lace up your shoes and let Monet come back. How did that make you guys feel?
With Cameron, I feel like she has a survivor's guilt mentality where she's thinking, it's almost like what we saw with Ben de la Creme last season, where it's really hard for these contestants to feel like they're the reason somebody else didn't succeed. And I know that Cameron was taking it very personally, like, I didn't want to be the reason that somebody else leaves. And I think that she just has a sensitivity to her that she feels bad that she knocked Monet out. But at that same time, you just have to you can't show that weakness mm-hmm. in front of other contestants because they, like, people mm-hmm. like Asia's gonna be like, okay, go, like, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, on a couple, like, I the Ben de la Creme thing is interesting because that one I felt more sympathetic for Ben because
right.
you were put in a position where you were not the bad guy, but you had to make
she those was literally deciding
tougher decisions than Rue that season.
Right.
This
right.
is a little different. And I actually thought of you, Mark, when I was watching it because me and Mark sort of disagreed on how we thought Cameron should be, like, mm-hmm. intertwined in the group. And so while I didn't necessarily agree with you last week regarding that, like, you know, hey, go be on your own, fine. It didn't really bother me. But I will say that I think it does start to bother me when she puts this energy of like, well, maybe I shouldn't be here because it is a competition. Mm-hmm. And listen, if you want to go be in the corner and be antisocial, I don't have a problem with that. But I do right. have a problem with you not still being in the moment and gung-ho for a dream that Calorie Kardashian would cut a bitch for. You
right.
know?
Absolutely. So. I agree with you 100%. Me and Ronnie don't agree often. So enjoy this, people. No, I mean, that is, of course, me. Because I haven't really been a huge... I don't know her. I'm sure when I get the opportunity to meet her and I speak with her, she is a wonderful, charming human being. I'm just seeing what I'm being shown on the television. And I forget about her. Mm-hmm. When I'm writing outlines, when I'm thinking of the runway and I'm talking with friends, I completely forget that she's there. And I mean, and that may be fine with her. I just, you know, when I hear Eureka, like, I want this, I'm fighting for this, when Asia's saying it, when Aquaria's saying it, it needs to be one of them then. And I think it's a waste to even have her there if that's her attitude.
Yeah,
so.
But I do think that there's contestants that come in who are not great at the game. Like, I think she even hinted at it during Untucked where she said, I do funny lip syncs, I do, like, spoken mm-hmm. word. So I think it's hard sometimes if you're not an actor or you're not if you have a set thing, like, you can do the looks and stuff when you've prepared the material.
Right.
It's very different from being thrown into a competition
absolutely.
Where they prepared this stuff
absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's so many different styles of drag, but yet we're trying to put it in one vehicle. Mm-hmm. Certain people are so great off the stage,
yeah.
but
right.
they're not going to be on this
right.
show.
Well, then after that, we had the, I'm going to call it debacle of a mini challenge. Mini challenge, maxi challenge I've been this season because I thought some of them have been some of the best and like just tying them all in together and with the episode, I just didn't, this was like such a waste of my time other than seeing Cheyenne Jackson,
I think
who
that's the
got
popular,
to
yeah.
come in this, and
look at that jawline.
Choose the winner.
Is.
I know.
That is a
gorgeous
jawline.
Man.
Was this taking the place of the puppet challenge? Like, why haven't we had that?
Yeah, we haven't. Maybe they'll do that. No, they're not. Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe they'll do it this week. Yeah, so they basically had to build a pancake and create a story behind the pancake, and he picked Asia to win. I do believe we have a picture of the winning pancake.
Gorgeous.
I don't even want to ask, do you think someone else's pancake should have fallen?
I am so okay to skate over this whole mini
I know,
challenge.
It's just, yeah. But I will I'm, give I'm, a, sh- I was going to give a shout out. The only thing I was going to say is they talked about Sunday brunch and the Voss events, and we actually have a Voss Saturday brunch at Rockwell Table and Stage. So if anyone is in LA and looking for a Saturday brunch, check out Rockwell Table and Stage. They're my old bosses, so I told them I'd give them
go.
A little plug.
Cute.
So then the challenge itself, we'll get to the... We're just going to jump right into this so we can talk about it more. Was the... Rue comes in to give them the challenge, the maxi challenge, which was to create... And I do... I don't know if we were on air when you were saying this or not, but... That it was a little confusing to me when she was describing it. Well, first when she first said it, I was like, oh, okay, good and bad, da da da. But then I felt like it was when Rue was walking around the workroom that I started going, okay, girl, what is this about? Uh-huh. So basically they had to come, these were words that she used. One of you at your best and one of your evil twin or inner saboteur. That's how she described it when she was talking about the challenge.
Or the saboteur.
Saboteur, as Cameron can't say.
I thought that was cute, though.
And then they had to write their inner monologue while they were on the runway. And obviously they were played that when they were walking on in there. When the good was on stage, they were played the bad and they had to react to it and stuff. And they were actually in some respects, getting judged on that because they made comments.
It almost
about
seemed
people's...
like, what was the season where Kimura went home? She had that silly monkey one. Yeah. It seemed like they were trying to do something like that. And that was actually a challenge I don't think a lot of people enjoyed either.
Yeah.
So the concept of it is so close, but I don't think people are really enjoying it. Or I'm sorry, I just didn't.
I liked the idea of it. Good and evil kind of thing. I liked, because I do think with any, and I think as a performer, any kind of performer, not just drag, any kind of performer, I think you do have an inner saboteur and you have these things that you just, you know, make you, you know.
Right.
So I like the idea of it. I didn't know if this was intentional that Cheyenne Jackson had twins. Did you get that?
Oh, I didn't. She says that. You are really pushing. Yeah.
I'm trying because I have been a fan of the mini and maxi challenges this season. Okay.
Well, I think the saboteur aspect was just really good in the sense of that is something Rue talks about all the time on the podcast. You know, so saboteur is something that really has lived within his life and mistakes he's made. So I liked that part. And I really liked the part where some of the queens had to get together, all of them rather, and they had to start saying, well, this is what I see really optimistic about you. Here's what I see is maybe a challenge. Because it does open up your eyes, as like we said, as a performer. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I didn't realize that I'm not expressing myself. You know, Cracker went into that. So I liked more of that, and I liked more of the workroom exchanges, but I did think it laid off a little corny.
Yeah.
You know, you queens there, go home, and you stay. Like, all of it. And then they, in the background, in the workrooms, Untucked, they were looking at the screen. It just was, like, too cheesy to me. It took me out of it, you guys.
Yeah, I agree.
You were that was one of the things that they did, which I kind of wanted to do for us, is they kind of went around and told each other what they liked and disliked about each other. Oh. So I thought we could do
of each other.
Not of us, no. I know what you bitches think of me. Like, leave! And I don't want to know what you think of me in the chat room. And thank you for everybody who's in the chat room. I'm sorry, I haven't flipped over to look in there. Where's my little thingy here? CM Mellon, Breacham, Ahmed, Prince of Nowhere Land. Thank you for being in there and everybody else. So let's go through them. I'll yell out a name and you guys tell me your like and dislike about that.
Okay,
queen.
That's fun. I like this game.
So Eureka. Jay, your likes about Eureka.
So Eureka, I think she has been consistent this season. So I think that's been good. She's been performing on the challenges and I think she's come back and done what she wanted to do for this season. I agree, though. I think that she's been very polarizing to a lot of the audience this season because of how much she talks and her opinions and how she has to insert herself into a lot of the conversations that we see on television.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my two things for her.
Ronnie? Likes and dislikes?
I mean, everyone knows I've had a hard time enjoying her. I think she did really good in the mini challenge where she was the rough trade? I thought she was great there.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly loved the part where she said, you know, I came into this and I started to have my inner saboteur say, maybe I'm not supposed to be back. Mm-hmm. Maybe I wasn't really good enough for the second chance. And then Rue goes, no, no one thinks that. You think that. And I like the vulnerability.
Yeah.
The only sad thing is, no, I actually do think that. And I've thought that the whole time. I thought she wasn't really strong enough to come back. I think they've been milking her and she's kind of got away with things that other people wouldn't have had to go through as easily. That is just my feeling and my viewpoint. Right. And I think a lot of times when you watch a show back, you're like, you're in a buzz. She has a buzz right now. So I think that's why she's so likable.
Right.
I don't know if she were to win this particular season, looking back, you know, in 6 years from now or whatever, I don't think you would love her as much. That's just my feeling on her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like her. I think what I like the most about her is she is very put together. When she, other than that old woman challenge, I just feel like everything she's done has been very thought out. Asia said it. You know, you're just very meticulous what you do, I think the dislike would be, and they talked about this, I think Aquaria said it, it just needs to kind of rough up a little bit. It's a little too put together sometimes. You just want to see a little bit more of the, you know, vulnerability stuff. All right, Aquaria, likes and dislikes.
Oh, yeah, they called her Susie Cream Cheese.
Susie Cream Cheese, that's what I was trying to remember that. Okay, thank you. Yeah, Susie Cream Cheese.
So we have Aquaria next.
Aquaria next, likes and dislikes.
Aquaria is, I didn't think from the Meet the Queens that this is who I'd be rooting for, but she is hands down. Her and Asia are my top two that I want to see in the finals. Like, one of them needs to take the title for me to really have this win for this season. She has blown me away with her humor, her style. Like, I think she has really surprised me, so that's my likes. Dislikes, there's not much. I mean, I feel like she's come back and she has the sense to look back at what her day was, and she's apologized. She's able to take responsibility for what she's done. And honestly, Aquaria has been really solid for me this whole season. Like, when I look back, she's kind of the whole package for me right now.
I didn't mean to talk so bad about Eureka. Sorry. I feel like that was a setup because, yeah, that was, I only talk bad about her. I'm sorry. But let's talk about Aquaria. I agree with you completely. When I literally, from watching this episode, I said, oh, that is not the girl that I thought she was in the Meet the Queens. Yeah. And I know the first couple episodes I had a really hard time with her because felt like she was coming in with like this branded shtick. And even from watching the first couple episodes of her personality to the way it is now, she is so warm. She's so fun. And we can't, you know, not gag over her, you know, her fashion sensibility. Mm-hmm. And I think we critically are tougher on the young queens a lot of times. But I always say, like, as much as I love Violet, if you could prove it and you're young, and if you're even a little bitchy, at least that's your truth. And I feel like we're seeing her truth, and she's become really sweet, but nothing like I would have thought for Meet the Queens. Because I think she was wearing the caution tape. I wasn't getting it. I thought, if anything, oh, this girl maybe didn't do that good, but she wants to be sticky so she could get good sound bites.
Right.
And I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. I do. I mean, I like, you know, for me, it's not necessarily about the wardrobe. You know, I feel like that's always something you can buy or have made. You know what I mean? So I'm always, I think that's why I like the ones that I like. They may not be the most fashion forward, you know what I mean? But this isn't a fashion show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but I do like, what I like about Aquaria, I do like her confidence. I think I was the same with you. I think at the beginning I thought it was maybe coming from a bad place, but I don't think it is. I think it's a naive place. I do think she, and I wouldn't say dislike. I don't, I'm finding a hard time finding things I dislike now about
Especially her. Especially because there's That's only good. Five and you, you've grown with them.
Yeah. But I do think she probably does. I think once, as she gets older, she's going to expand out. I think there's a lot more to her than you've seen so far.
Agreed.
Asia. Real quick. Let's try and do them quicker.
Go ahead, Ronnie. You first.
My favorite thing about her is just her grown, you know, being the leader in the room and also Motherly. Being very warm and not being afraid to say something that's unpopular. Mm-hmm. She had the one episode where she talked about, I thought I helped you guys too much. No one really helped me. So she put her foot in it. But I think she plays with that well. My least favorite thing is... I think sometimes... I don't know. I haven't been able to find anything bad, really. Yeah. I really like her, and she's a winner.
So my big turnaround was from Asia as well, from the Meet the Queens, because she came in with that. She said, I'm like post-apocalyptic. Remember that bad wig that she had on in Meet the Queens? I didn't get it. And I was like, what is happening? And then this is the biggest turnaround I've had in a season where, honestly, Asia is my number one. This is who I want to win. I want her to have the title. I think she will do the most with the title. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's proved that throughout this competition. As far as dislikes, I don't have any, because I think she's been consistently good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like her. I mean, I think I like her. Her like you, the her just her kindness and her willing to help and stuff like that. I think if there's a dislike, it's just there are some times where I question her taste.
Okay.
And that.
Okay.
Cracker, likes, dislikes. Let's do them real quick.
So we can. I mean, it doesn't hurt that she's, you know, Bob's daughter and you know, rolls with Monet, and I love a New York City scene, you know, and the queens that are out there. So I feel like she holds her own with that, so I really love that about her. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately, you know, we have saw a decline, you know, for four episodes in, so you kind of have to stop with your appreciation and just say, hey, this was not her time. She's got other things in her life, and she's going to be fabulous regardless.
Yeah. I think this is a case where, with Miss Cracker, we're going to see her come back like a Katya, where, you know, Katya got kicked out at the same time in her competition season 7 and All Stars 2 really excelled, where she just needed the exposure and the experience of the show to really help her grow as a drag queen. So I think I've been disappointed. My dislike of Cracker is that she seems like she wanted to come in with something, and then the show was like, you can't do that. And then she wasn't able to adjust in time or at all. Like, it just seemed like she was really stuck. But outside of the show, the things that I've seen, like Review with the Jew and stuff, Cracker's funny. And I think that she's going to be fine after this.
Yeah, I do. I love her creativity. I like her, just the way her mind works. I love, like, that's why I think why I like Milk so much.
Yeah.
When she does stuff, I go, I never would have thought of that. And I think that I have the same feeling with Cracker. And I do think if there is a dislike, I guess it would just be, I dislike it, but I just think that, like you said, I think she had something else planned and it's not working.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, Cameron, likes and dislikes.
Why don't you go first, Mark?
What I like about her, I mean, I like she's. I like her kindness. I do because she's from Tennessee, so I do think that that's genuine. I just it's too, I don't know. Like, I just feel like everything's looks wise. Even though there have been some great looks, I just feel like it's just too much sometimes, and I just feel like she just needs to pull back.
Yeah, I don't think Cameron was built for this show. She's been very middle of the pack for me, and I think she's okay, but I haven't really... My dislike is I don't think she's a reality show personality.
Yeah.
But that was kind of like Nina Bonita Brown, where I enjoyed watching Nina for the opposite reasons of her being like, this is a show and I don't want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. I think Cameron's just kind of like, oh, I kind of wanted to do the competition without the aspect of reality. Being
right.
Like, I don't want to give you sound bites. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be a character.
Yeah.
I want to be Cameron Michaels. But my likes is I feel like she is very nice and very... she's been consistent with the looks part of this show.
Yeah.
I like her in the sense that I always say that I unfortunately, you know, really gravitate towards, you know, like a New York City queen, like a crunchier queen, if you will. And I like, you know, opening even my heart and saying, oh, man, let's take a look at this Tennessee queen. She's going to be a little softer, a little nicer, you know, and just kind of go with it. And I've been impressed with some of her stunning looks. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of what you were just saying a second ago, some of the things that are going to make her so outstanding aren't able to be ran within this vehicle of the way the show is.
Right.
And maybe she is getting a little pissy in her head that, you know, I'm gonna have to act this way, and, you know, since she's not willing to do it, we're not willing to see and learn her.
Yeah.
You know, we're not able. So that's my dislike, I guess.
Well, since we just rated everybody on the show, it's time for you to rate us. So go to iTunes and make sure you give us guys a review and rate us 5 stars if you think we deserve 5 stars.
And a thumbs up, not a middle finger, please.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
I wanted to thank Dante and Sergio. I know that they recently wrote iTunes reviews for us that yes. were very kind. So thank you guys so much.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to talk about with before we get to the actual runway performances and stuff, and the actual looks. And this has been kind of a recurring thing the last couple episodes, and I'm seeing people talk about it online even, is it just me, or does Rue seem a lot more animated
in the workrooms? As soon as the vixen left, Rue was like, woo!
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I just feel like there's... Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I just feel like she's getting, I don't know, real kooky.
Yeah, that's one word. I agree.
Rue, do you know what I did? Yeah. You guys notice it too?
She's acting like the saboteur character.
Yeah.
I mean, I think so too, because, you know, you'll watch the show and it's just very the judge's table. But then I try to listen to What's the Tea as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like I even say in my head, now this is the Michelle and the Rue I like the good cackling. And you're right. We didn't see that prior. And I love that we are seeing.
Yeah,
me too. She'll call the girl out now.
Yeah.
She wasn't doing that before, I don't think.
No, you know? Not as much. Yeah. Definitely not as much.
And it's not mean either. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think that Rue is really enjoying the competition this season.
Yeah.
I feel like she has stakes in each one of these queens. And mm-hmm. I think that we've seen... I really think Rue is pulling for Asia. If you do, like, a look back at all the episodes, Asia is, like, clearly her front-runner winner, don't mm-hmm. you think?
Yeah, like the episode where Asia didn't even win, but she goes, Asia, you did good.
Yeah.
Asia, I want you to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was
you're right about that, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And now the moment we've all been waiting for, being clear.
Can I jump back on one? I'm sorry. Okay, real quick. I just wanted, because I didn't want to forget it. When Asia was talking about her saboteur aspect is that she's so open to discomfort. I was wondering what you guys thought. Is that because she lost the parents at a young age? Maybe if something like that traumatically happens, you're just always going back to, you know, as great as things could get, I've already hit this ultimate low. I was just kind of trying to understand her saboteur. But now that we talked about Claire P, I guess really what I said didn't even matter. I'm so sorry.
Well, I do want to speak on this because I think that it seemed like none of the contestants really grasped what Rue was giving the challenge. Like, it seemed like they did like a good versus evil. And I don't think that was really, Rue has like a very new agey way of thinking, or like, you know, kind of these sayings and that mm-hmm. she lives off of. And I don't know if everybody understood that part of it. That's why I think it was hard for Aquaria when she goes, is that how deep you're going to go with Aquaria? Because Aquaria's 21. Like, there's really not been that much self-doubt, especially with Aquaria, who's had so much success as a drag queen. I'm sure that she's kind of had this thing where she's like, I'm kicking ass. I'm doing good. Like, I don't really have a lot of voices yet telling me that I'm doing poorly. So I think, like, with Asia, you see this thing where I think Asia was kind of thinking, like, have I had a moment that's been sad or that I haven't conquered yet? And I don't know if that's really the saboteur that's speaking.
Right.
So I don't know if the challenge was really clear to anybody.
To everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I thought about it, and I don't know if you guys did this or people too. I kind of did it to myself. I literally called my own Ronnie saboteur, and I remember kind of like saying what I would say. And
what did he say?
Oh, we don't have time for all that. Okay, but right. I'll say the tone was different. Some of the queens here, their tone was very, "Hello, Aquaria, I'm gonna come get you," like a Wizard of Oz kind of thing. The way I saboteured myself, I guess I could tell you some of the stuff later, but I saboteured myself. It was very like sarcastic, and it was very like yo, like I was almost like mad, and I just thought maybe that would have been the angle one of them went, and all of them kind of went a little more spooky dooky,
right?
Which didn't really hit, and which is why Rue said, "You've got to bring it because I'm giving you an opportunity to call out your thing." But I like the way Asia said, "You know, you're nothing but a middle aged pot belly." I mean, these are the things that you would say to yourself if it was saboteur.
But I look at that as more of insecurities than a saboteur.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I think you nailed it for me when you said that it was like season 9's challenge where they had a sidekick. It felt more like they wanted to make a second character. I don't know. The challenge just wasn't very clear in my eyes. Yeah. But anyway.
Peeing clear.
You really want to hit that one.
It always comes back to the piss
on the show.
Well,
I mentioned it. Now I have to talk about it.
Sure.
We all understand what she was talking about, I'm assuming.
No.
And it's supposed to be very healthy if your pee is clear. That means you're drinking enough water.
Yeah.
Your pee shouldn't be colored. Yes, we're talking about this now.
Not like Red Bull.
That's what that, and it shouldn't look like Red Bull.
Right. Do you pee clear yourself?
Sometimes, if I'm drinking enough water.
Can I tell you, and I know I'm a little chubby, so I obviously don't eat great. I eat okay. But I piss clear all the time because I drink water and vodka primarily.
Yeah.
Literally nothing else.
Well, then that's why. Yeah, and that's why. So it's
it
good.
Shoots
that's
out.
Good.
That's gay water. That's just good. Vodka sodas.
That was what that was about. I just thought I'd talk about it since
it was
then.
Good, Mark. Yeah. It was good.
And I brought a picture of Rude Paul, who joined the workroom. Yeah. Which I thought was a fun, interesting moment. But I did, what was funny because, there she is, Rude Paul. Looking back at the critiques that they gave them, she really didn't do what she was telling them she wanted them to do by doing Rude Paul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just thought it was interesting when I went back and looked at, because at the time I was like, oh, cute, you know, that they did it. But then after I heard the critiques and then watched it again, I was like, well, you didn't do what you said you wanted them to do.
I wonder if it was a time issue, like, you know.
Probably.
Yeah.
So the runway was Evil Twins. Guest judges were Ashanti, who I do believe we have a photo of Ashanti, and Leah Dunham from Girls.
Lena Dunham.
Yeah.
And I was like a little sad that they didn't get as excited for Lena.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she only created 6 seasons of a really good show.
Right.
Granted,
right.
The last 2 seasons weren't the best, but still.
Yeah. And then I also brought a picture of RuPaul's runway look because we always like to talk about RuPaul's runway look. I actually thought it was clever. It's number 7, photo number 7. I liked it. I wish it was a little longer. But I think that's a zipper up the front.
Oh.
So they were limited to the length of the zipper, is my guess.
Okay.
But I really liked it, and I liked that it was 2 colors, even though she did 2 colors last week for the twins thing. That was, I'm trying to think, like, maybe she's thinking.
No, that's true, because we do talk about on this panel that we wish Rue would do an homage
to whatever the challenge is, yeah. But I liked it. I loved the cape. I liked the color.
I don't know if we're being, like, super critical, and I'm not the best-looking human being, so, you know, I'm just going to judge. I thought it didn't fit properly or something. Like, I don't know, there was something there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I thought she looked great. I liked it.
Okay, so let's go through each one. Eureka, I think, was first, right? She was Eureka and you filth a whore.
Hey, no.
As soon as she came around the corner, all I thought was Hamburger Mary. Am I the only one?
Oh,
in the first look?
I didn't think of that, but it makes sense.
I was like, girl, she must have done a show at Hamburger Mary's. She had this outfit. She's like, oh, I'm going to use that. I liked it. I did like, Carson, I think, said, I liked that she did 2 different plaids and they were different, you know, and one was, you know, on an angle. The other one was kind of straight across. I liked it. It wasn't mind blowing or anything, but I liked it.
All I could think was, you are a virgin who can't drive. Because she looks like Cher Horowitz.
Yeah.
They showed that in the show, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if she pushed it enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the black spray on her scalp for the divine look, because I really love that illusion that it gives where the dark roots go all the way in.
But I liked her evil more than I liked her good.
Exactly what I was just going to say. I liked her evil a lot more than her good.
Yeah.
I don't think I generally like neon to begin with. So if it doesn't have a good juxtaposition on like what they're trying to do,
right?
That's my problem.
But I like I like that she did the same hair color, but kind of styled it differently and did different things.
I almost
to
thought
it.
Though what she was wearing could have been slightly different too. It almost felt like I think Carson was like, oh my god, gag! It was so polar opposite. And I was like, it kind of looks exactly the same, but the hair does and the divine eyes. Right. I think that is cool.
Right.
I didn't love the yellow wig.
Yeah. It was okay. I wasn't.
She just neon is not great for everybody, and especially not good for
right.
her.
Yeah. Right, her skin tone too.
Unless she's Hamburger Mary.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Cameron was next, and her twin Katrina, which when she came out, and I was like, really, that's girl. It was basically the same look, just her forehead was painted in one. That's my opinion. Go ahead, guys.
I do love the wig on her evil look and the face paint. I think it's super symmetrical, which is really impressive. And she reminds me of a character from Horizon Zero Dawn, if anybody games. She looks like something that would have belonged in there. Her good look, I wasn't into. They used the same piece, or she used the same pieces where it was kind of like a bra and a skirt that was asymmetrical. And I don't know, her good look wasn't great, but I thought that her evil really spoke to
me. I liked her evil better, too.
Yeah.
You guys are nailing it. I don't know about the gaming world, so I'm glad you mentioned that, because she mentions it a lot. Mm-hmm. And the times I'm like, I'm not really there, Cameron. I think before I judge, I'm like, oh, maybe it's because it's an homage to like some type of, look in that world. But the second look is a lot better. But even so, the performance was really rough. And it was funny because we were all saying how we still really like Cameron. And last week, Mark, intelligently said, you guys, I think she's kind of dropping the ball or something's
not
there.
Can you say that again?
I already said it and it's recorded, so that's okay.
Can we make that into a soundbite? Please, somebody make that into a soundbite.
Mark
send it to me.
Mark is correct. Lorraine has done said it. Oh, no. And it did. I watched it and I said, those looks, maybe the nice queen, she just looked like she already given us this before. I felt like we had seen that exact thing. And since it didn't go with the story, I did miss it.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Photo number 10, Ms. Cracker and Ms. Crumbs. Love the names. Mm-hmm. She obviously just had them and wore them and didn't do much more besides that. I do believe she tweeted something that there was something she was going to make and the machine broke and blah, 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 which is fine. It's an excuse, not an explanation. I liked the first one. It was okay. I liked the color combination. It was cool. I didn't really love the second one.
I just think her mind has gotten tired. She has that book we saw in early episode one, I guess, and she's so over analytical. We know all these things, and that all works fine in your regular day to day life. I think her gas is out. Her and Monet, they didn't really show on the show very much, how close they were, but they are very close. And when you have your sister leave, I think she just ran out of gas. So to have that stop down time and to recreate something so special, it just didn't happen.
Yeah. And we saw her kind of get frustrated with the sewing machine. So I think I think you're hitting it right. Like she just, this was it for her. And I like her Marie Antoinette look a lot more. So her good look compared to her evil look. Her evil look was, if it was like a prehistoric challenge, which I'm sure that's kind of what the sheet said, that's why they all had something that looked very tribal or prehistoric. It would have fit that.
I don't. You think that maybe later there's something?
I don't know. I feel like all of them had something that was so prehistoric.
They did. They definitely did.
They could have went any direction you thought. But
Cameron, she looks tribal. I don't know. It just seemed like everybody had something planned for a prehistoric look. And I'm sure I've been really careful to not spoil myself this season. So I'm sure that somebody's already.
Yeah, next week
assumption.
They do a pre... No, I'm kidding.
But I don't think the second look was all that bad.
It just wasn't all that good
I think her...
yeah.
I think, as Rue said, this was a challenge for her to hit it out the ballpark.
Yeah.
And remember how I made that comment a second ago? How if I did it for myself, my saboteur would be more, like, pissy?
Yeah.
I don't know why Cracker did the, let's tell you about Cracker. And that to me would have been a perfect time to, like, give... Because... The girl, the nice queen is already that. So what you should have done is come all with the outside of your character and really just read yourself, basically. Yeah. That would have worked really well for
Cameron. Well, I think what she was doing with that voice was trying to make the voice fit that look, to make that look fit better. I think that was the thought. I don't know.
Sure. I love Cracker, but choices.
May I read something? Daniel Green in the chat just confirmed the queens were told to bring a prehistoric look, and then that runway never happened. So Miss Cracker, Cameron, and Aquaria used those looks for their evil looks.
Got it.
Cool. cool.
Perfect.
I feel vindicated.
Next up, photo 11, is Aquaria and her twin, Sabatina, which I like that name. I like Sabatina. I really did like them both. I do think they're, obviously, that's Aquaria's thing. You know, she is fashion. She is, I mean, they're gorgeous. They're mm-hmm. gorgeous.
They're stunning.
I'm not going to mince words. And I think, and Rue even says, the 3D face mask look is probably one of the all-time best looks on the show.
Awesome.
I can't focus which one I like better.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I like the evil one better, but...
Same. Yeah. My only critique about the evil one is I wish...
I miss you, Jay.
Miss you, too. I really miss her. I really wish that her spine had stayed down on the jacket.
Yeah.
That was my only criticism, because I saw it kind of swaying back and forth, and I don't know if that was a choice or not, but I really wish that it was more structured, because of that bone. I really want that solid bone feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could be gross.
No, I just...
I want one in a size 14. That's all I have to say.
All right, I'll make it.
Yeah. I can see you rocking it. Yeah. We all want a one.
But the jaw thing actually keeps my mouth shut. I'm going to say it for the people that are in the chat room thinking it.
I'll make you one.
Okay, thank you. I'll wear it every Sunday at 6.
How do I follow that? I also thought, you know, she's totally, you know, known for her looks and her style and her fashion forward abilities. But I even think the way she conveyed herself on the runway was good. Both sides. I think her saboteur actually said some really great things. It said something so deep where Lena was able to read it without even really knowing the characters. Lena was able to understand that, oh, okay, because she is a younger queen, you know, and she doesn't really connect socially.
Yeah.
Sometimes she has to put a lot of, you know, her focus on her look. And for the judge who's been there for one day to be able to understand that much about a 21-year-old, it is saying something.
Yeah. And then last but not least, Asia, photo number 12. Asia was the good twin, and her bad twin was North Korea, which I thought was a brilliant choice. I didn't, when she first came out, I didn't like the first one until... The thing that made me like them were actually the balloons.
Okay.
Because if she didn't have the balloons, it was the deflated black balloons that tied it all together for me. So that's what I ended up liking about it once all was said and done. I did like her story, her inner saboteur talk, the most out of everybody that came out.
Right, that was the one I remember with the pot belly, middle-aged man, still going at... Yeah.
Yeah, I actually was surprised because I thought she was going to win. Just based on that, because I felt like that was the real challenge, even though Aquaria's looks were out of the ballpark, I still thought her story...
On Aquaria, I didn't notice she had the plucked feather, too.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that right off the top. I understood there was, like, some massacre, but not that she was
ripping
the soul off the good twin.
Yeah.
I thought this coloring on Asia's good look was fantastic. That orange and that hair, it kind of felt like a fox. I really enjoyed the... Even though it was a bodysuit, I thought that the leggings really made it pop. And the coloring on her looked so good. And then I felt like she transformed into a completely different person for her evil look.
Yeah.
It felt like a very androgynous Asia, or North Korea, I guess.
Yeah.
I love that outfit. I thought it was truly evil. And I love the makeup, how the eye just went all the way back. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was so smart she didn't do a wig. I thought it was all... Tens across the board.
Yeah. Tens across the board.
And it really was two different people up there. And that's what was important, too. I mean, even the way she had this bubbly image conveyed completely. And I want to be more critical on the good twin. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really love it all the way. But then I think maybe that's because she was trying to give us an entire story.
Right.
So if there would have been any other route, I don't know that I would have connected as well to the second one.
Right.
I also want to say her acting, like her expressions, the reactions to the evil
were the best.
Very fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, she slithered up and down that runway.
Mm-hmm.
She gave you a look that could like melt your eyeball shut. It was
totally.
Great.
Yeah. Totally. So I think this is the moment I'm going to tell you all my 180 degree turn on one of these top five girls, who it's going to be.
Tell us.
Cameron. Kidding.
Aquaria.
Uh-huh. I mean, I have to say, because we did that special Meet the Queens episode, I just kept thinking, oh, this girl is going to exhaust. She was, you guys weren't on the panel when I joined in season 7 when Pearl was on. It was kind of the same moment I had with Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
As Pearl kind of progressed and you kind of really got to see her, I look forward to hearing what Aquaria has to say. I think she's funny. I think she's just so charming. Her facial reactions whenever the RuPaul thing happens in the beginning. She's like, whoa! She gets so excited every time. I don't know. Like, I literally had a... Like, the other day, I was like, I have gone complete 180 on Aquaria.
That's,
and I will
that.
Admit it when I was wrong. I mean, based... I mean, again, we were judging it based on a 30-second video.
It may have been that she grew
on me.
Because
too.
I was telling you guys, I was watching that Evan Ross Katz video on Mike.com, mm-hmm. and it was really bad of Aquaria. But this was before Drag Race. So it might have been what we keep talking about. She went into the season, had the shtick, and got, you know, nailed a couple times, and then now we're seeing an evolved queen. It could be that.
With Sharon Needles as your, you know, influence and godmother. You know, like, I think that has a lot to do with her growth, too.
So really quick, I just want to say the lip sync. I did not feel as the... Well, I felt this but last 2 weeks. I didn't necessarily feel that Cameron was the better of the two either week. But Rue liked what she did better, and she stayed. Did you guys agree with that? I just want to give Jay some time to talk about the rest of the season. So.
I think that what Cameron did to win that lip sync against Miss Cracker this week was that weird leg and arm move on the stage. I feel like that's what Rue was going, because it cut to Rue and you saw her like enjoying that moment.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of inexcusable to have a person lip sync three times, and then Miss Cracker, who's coming off of a win and her first week in a row and holding her own, knowing the words to the song.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of crazy that she let Cameron win over Miss Cracker.
And Cameron's saying she don't want to be there, too.
So. Right, exactly.
It's a lot.
But Rue doesn't... I mean, Rue doesn't know that, so, quote unquote. But I just think... I thought they both did equally fine, and they both knew the words, so I thought Miss Cracker should have had it.
Yeah. I feel like it was a forgettable lip sync, because I went back to watch it, you know, the second time, and I... Every other episode, especially the Liza one from last week, I'm like, oh, I remember the song. I actually told myself as a quiz, I go, what is the song? And that can't be good.
And I
Vanity 6 at that.
Again, I don't think that necessarily Aquaria or Miss Cracker slayed it, but I also was surprised by what she did. Like, I was like, oh, she's doing really good. So I was actually, what you said, I was surprised that she chose her. So Jay, since we only have a few minutes left, I do want to give you an opportunity, since you've been away, to give us your thoughts overall of the season. If there's something like you're like, oh, I just wanted to say this that day when you guys were doing that podcast, here's your chance to do it.
I miss Monique Hart. That is the really? Number one takeaway of this. America. I miss her so much. I feel like I wanted her in this whole competition.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Monique. I thought that they were doing great. I loved them in the competition. This season started off super strong, and I think that I thought I saw this drive in all the competitors. And as we've whittled down like these past few, the stakes seem kind of lower, because I am okay with any of them kind of taking the crown. This is the first time in the show in a long time where I've been like, I could see each of them deserving it for different reasons. So the stakes aren't as high for me where I'm cheering for one specific person. But I think I've already said it earlier, Aquaria and Asia this whole season, when I look back at this whole season, they've been in the who are in the finals now, they're the ones who I want to take it.
We were saying last week, we think a lot of us thought Asia is going to be the one.
And I think she's earned it. Mm-hmm. She's been solid. That's all. I mean, really, that's my overall thoughts, is I feel like you guys have been saying a lot, and I feel like the community is all saying the same thing, where this season's been a really strong one.
Yeah.
And if Eureka or Aquaria don't win, they're still going to win in the respective stuff, you know, fashion, or Eureka's just such a fan favorite, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like Eureka's kind of taken some hits right now.
I
feel like I'm the only one who says I don't like her and everyone likes her. I always feel like in the...
I feel like I say I like her and I get all this backlash that they don't like her.
Oh,
so yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I do think she definitely deserves... If there's a top three, she deserves to be in it. If there's a... top two would be hard for me to decide at this point. So I would agree Eureka and Aquaria and Asia definitely deserve to be the top three.
I also feel
they're, you know what? Honestly, they're going to need someone to hold their purses so Cameron can stay.
Oh, no!
So, quick shout out. Quick shout out to some the last couple iTunes reviewers that we had. Dante Ferris, I think.
Yeah.
You mentioned.
Dante and Sergio,
Mitch Guy 62 wrote us a Seasons 10's review, 4 stars. That's okay, we'll take 4. That star, I'll take the hit. I'm sure it's for me.
No,
that one that we did, that fifth star.
10 stars.
Worth
for you.
A listen. Michael 74, and why did I not realize this existed? Gave us 5 stars. Texan 007. Heck yeah, does he say my name and like
anything nasty? Nothing. I can see off the cover.
Mark,
so that's
they
good.
Love you. What are you talking about?
No, they don't.
You are Lorraine
I'm
Love.
I'm the Eureka of this show. Okay, guys, tell everybody where they can find you on the social medias.
I'm Monet's biggest fan, and you can find me at randomly RJ with my sponge
you
necklace.
See if that's out there. You can switch your Twitter to Monet's biggest fan.
I am not going to be that thirsty. Come on. I like her, but I'm not gonna...
That's where you draw the line.
That's you.
Thank
your
you so much for having me back, guys. Mark, you did great.
It is good to have Jay here.
I know, I missed it, guys. But I've been busy. You guys can find me. I'm in a new video called Superheroes Last Day of School with Rachel Levine.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, yeah, that's her. Search for that on YouTube. And then find me on Instagram at @don_be_jealous and Twitter at @still_jealous. And if you have any recommendations for Boston, I'm going to be there for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lorraine Love, LorayneLove. You can send all the hate you want, girl, because I probably won't read it anymore.
No, be nice. We love him.
Thank
Come
you.
On, be nice.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for coming
it's Pride
back.
Pride Month.
Happy
love,
Pride.
Everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Drag you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.